Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, our IMS and IBM Mashup Center, Getting More from Your Data. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. Today's teleconference is being recorded. In this teleconference, you'll learn about the special offer for IMS customers. As an IMS 10 or IMS 11 customer, you are now entitled to a free copy of IBM's Mashup Center. With Mashup Center, your IMS information assets are easily accessible in the web context, enabling you to quickly deliver additional values from these systems. The speakers for today's teleconference are Evgeny Lekovich, IMS Technical Support Specialist, IBM Silicon Valley Lab, and Chris Gruber, Mashup Center Product Manager, IBM Toronto Lab. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our first speaker, Chris Gruber.
Thank you, operator. Today, I was hoping to, along with Evgeny, talk about what's new with IMS and the Web Tools Solution category. And right now, I'd encourage you to position yourself on slide one, which is the title slide. And we will be walking through these slides through the teleconference, and hopefully we can segue through the different slides together. So on slide two, if you will, switch into the agenda. We'll talk about the new offer that IMS product management team has delivered to the IMS customer base. And with this new offer, we're probably going to have to introduce you to a variety of different new concepts within the Web 2.0 space and some terminology so that we can learn about what you can do with the new offer. And we'll talk about the IMS and IBM Mashup Center's solution overview. Just at a technical level, Evgeny is going to talk about the nuts and bolts of that technology and the integrations therein. And we'll proceed to look at some of the examples that we see being used within mashups and IMS. On slide three, I'm really excited to announce that IBM Mashup Center is now available for free to IMS customers that have IMS System 10 and System 11, and they're able to utilize the capabilities of IBM Mashup Center within support of the IMS program and two additional SQL data sources, so that we're able to really de-silo the IMS category and bring it out to other data sets and new usage categories. So when you look at the nature of how we use IMS today, oftentimes we look at it as a siloed solution, and we've produced some Web 2.0 solutions in the past to hopefully alleviate that, and now we're pushing the limits beyond Web 2.0 to other categories of Web 2.0 and arguably other endpoints. So it's really interesting news, and if you go to the website www.ibm.com/IMS, you'll be able to learn more and figure out how to obtain the software. On slide four, we thought it'd be a good idea to talk about what Web 2.0 is. This might be, for some, a revisiting of Web 2.0. It's always a good idea to revisit things to keep it fresh in your mind. And for other folks on the phone, it might be something new. And so when you look at back several years ago when we had Web 1.0, the pages were typically static. When you clicked on a link, you typically see a flicker of the screen, the page would reload, and the browser was really dumb terminal, as it were, with respect to the capabilities that it had within the browser. But the nice thing about the browser, of course, it was very pervasive, and it hit a lot of users without having a lot of deployment challenges. With Web 2.0, we still benefit from the pervasiveness of the browser, but using techniques like AJAX, we're able to make the browser more like a thick client, which effectively delivers a bit more dynamics to a web application. It becomes a bit more personal. It becomes a bit more collaborative in nature. And so a lot of sites nowadays leverage these techniques, such as Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and additionally some additional approaches to building solutions like mashups have been adopted so that we are able to leverage this. What was a thin client is now a thick client, as it were, and really reach new audiences. And in fact, a lot of people look at some of these external sites like Facebook and LinkedIn as very interesting from an external perspective, and they ask the question, why can't I have this within the enterprise? And this is what we're delivering here today. So we're really excited about this being applied to the IMS data sets and assets you have within your enterprise. On slide five, I'd like to take you through what a mashup is. For folks that are musically inclined, you might find the mashup terminology similar to that of where it actually originated in the music industry, where they actually took two different songs and mashed them together to create a new song that had some sort of interesting variation. Now, from a web perspective, a mashup is a capability where you're taking two either data sources or assets from a website and putting them together. So you're reusing a lot of existing work. And we are looking at using a mashup, an approach where you're not looking at heavy use of technical skills. And that's one of the aspects of reuse, is if you can leverage something that's in place right now without utilizing things like coding and debugging, you're going to be able to put things together much more quickly. And while I said mashups utilize mashing up different websites, the data therein is typically what's very interesting to people in a mashup environment, particularly when it comes to the enterprise, whereby you want to mash up enterprise information, and that could come from a variety of different sources. And we'll talk about how to do that shortly, but of course, you'd be looking at SQL data sources, IMS, of course, but that also includes external data sources and personal or desktop assets. On slide six, I'd like to talk to you a bit about what a widget is. Widgets are utilized within mashups. Some vendors utilize the other terms for widgets, such as gadgets, blocks, page flakes, and effectively they do a lot of the same things. They visualize data in a certain way, and some data sets make sense to visualize in a map, in a table, a chart, or anything that your creativity would allow. But the idea there is that the widget is effectively a means to display or manipulate data on the browser. And widgets typically are written in HTML and JavaScript, so it's very lightweight in nature. There's not a lot of heavy coding. Now, you could do a lot of heavy coding if you wanted to, but it could be that simple. And widgets actually have a means to communicate with each other. Within IBM Mashup Center, we use the term wiring. But effectively, widgets can communicate with each other. So when you click on one widget, you'll get a behavior in a different widget based on what you clicked on. So they become mashable. And these things are pieces and parts of a mashup from a visual perspective. Now, there are cases where widgets are non-visual, where you want to manipulate data between the widgets in their communication. Most widgets have a set of settings that you configure as to, you know, what font, what columns you want to show, which data you want to show, and you're easily able to configure the widget for the purposes of the mashup you're building. On slide seven, we're going to describe what a feed is. And for most folks that are on the call, they'll resonate with what a feed is by what they see within their mobile device or their browser in their feed reader. And new syndication format is certainly a valid way to look at a feed. However, feeds are actually extensible. The ATOM protocol is an extensible protocol, and that allows us to put any information that we want within a feed. And with the feed construct of being very simply HTTP protocol with an XML structure, we can send feeds to a variety of different endpoints. So with the power of being able to serve up to many endpoints, plus the power to include a variety of different data sets within a feed, we gain a new flexibility in the way we surface information. And these feeds are actually what send the data to the widgets within a mashup. So while Mashup Center will consume feeds through the widget, we can look at a variety of different endpoints with the feed construct. So this brings us to slide eight and what a mashup platform is. We've already spoken about what a widget is, what a feed is, and what a mashup is. And, well, the mashup platform that we're speaking about today goes above and beyond that and deals with things like spaces and REST services. Let's talk about some of the core competencies. So a mashup platform, because you're able to assemble mashup pages and applications without much technical skill, you're able to put things together much more quickly. And because you're doing the building of the application on the browser for the browser, you can actually build solutions and visualize them much more quickly, which means the iterative cycle of application development can be reduced greatly. And with that new ability to change things on the fly, you're gaining a new agility and flexibility in the information surfacing aspects of your business. And arguably, you might find that our line of business in terms of the page assembly could actually build these solutions together. When you consider many folks in line of business build complicated Excel macros and the software tools on the desktop become a little bit more powerful, these power users will be able to utilize those types of solutions. Why could they not apply their skill in this construct as well? What you might see is that IT is being able to start saying yes to a lot of problems that they would normally have said no to, and they're able to enable the line of business to build assets themselves. And ultimately, when you are talking about surfacing information, you're going to deliver new insights to the business in a more rapid fashion. Now, while the Mashup platform might arguably be an endpoint in its own right, it's not just a solution that targets its user interface as well. It targets mobile devices, portals. You can move into a portal environment from a Mashup environment. You can target third-party applications and desktop applications because we're dealing with a common protocol in HTTP and feeds. So why does that matter? And let's move on to slide 9 and talk about, you know, the nature of how people do their business and utilize the applications they've already been provided. Whether it be a browser-based application or a desktop application or a third-party website or a mobile device, people are toggling between these applications that they know are supported within the organization. It might be a CRM solution, and that's something that they know how to deal with their customers. But, you know, there might be a case where you need some content management solution to be brought within the CRM solution so that such as a contract for the customer, so that you can see a single view to support your customer and their decision points. And so when you are looking at providing that additional information that might have originally been out of scope from that application and bring it into context, there's high value for the line of business. And Mashup Center allows you to do that for your IMS data. And that's all good news for the enterprise. On our next slide, slide 10, you'll find that there's been a large movement towards SOA, and that's actually very good news for the enterprise that is investing into SOA because it allows you to reuse many of the heavy lifting aspects of putting applications together. And what it does is componentize many of your engineering efforts so that they become reusable. So with that being said, you add a mashup category to that. Mashups have the ability to further extend the reuse of those components. And so Web 2.0 construct, particularly around mashups, allows you to personalize your SOA for efficiency and more innovation and actually service that innovation to endpoints that might have been more difficult to deliver or consume. So we are able to actually repurpose the web services through SOA into RESTful protocols, be able to apply them to widgets, visualize them in different widgets. You're able to repurpose the original SOA asset for other purposes that might not originally been scoped out. And so this is where we're talking about the flexibility of SOA is exaggerated, as it were, with the construct of mashups and the Web 2.0 approach. So you effectively have a wider usage from your SOA assets. And if you'll notice that IMS Web 2.0 solutions utilize the SOA architecture in its approach in IMS version 10. So on slide 11, let's talk a bit about how mashups lower the cost curve. Starting from the left, we're talking about design and delivery. The design paradigm is in fact the same as the delivery paradigm with IBM Mashup Center. You're actually building a mashup on the browser for the browser. And so having them one and the same allows you to immediately see the results that you are building. So when you are looking at how you're building the application, which typically relies on data, the question is, where do I get the data? Unlike other technologies where you have to build a data set that's intermediary for the purposes of warehousing solution or some other data mart be able to access the data in place. And that's what you'll see in the demo that we have on tap for you. The ability to access the data in place means that you are accessing raw data right from the source. So that accelerates the ability for surface it. Now, with that being said, the raw data may not be in the format that you need. So we actually allow you to do data mashups so that you can repurpose the data as needed by the application. So as you're delivering the data and the user interface, you're going to find that, like any project, there's going to be some uncertainty. And so the line of business in the original definition will have something that seems to be crisp, but in fact, over time, you'll see it not so crisp. And because we're able to do the surfacing data and assembly of data very quickly, we're able to show the user very quickly what they had asked for, and they're going to obviously identify the differences. So by being able to change the mashup very quickly, you're able to react to that user response very quickly, and by doing that, you can actually reduce the project uncertainty and effectively pull in the time to delivery much more effectively. And so what we're talking about here is really a virtuous cycle, that instead of a cycle of once every 4 weeks getting together with the line of business, you're actually doing it within minutes. And so that approach allows you to build mashup pages and widgets and what have you more effectively for the line of business. Now, with that being said, I should point out that we are comparing this to traditional development, and many of the things that you can do with the mashup, traditional development could also allow you to do. There is certainly a point in time where you're going to still want to do traditional development, and we can get into a whole large discussion about how that happens, and I'd be happy to entertain that discussion. But the point here is that from an IT perspective, we have now a new tool in our toolbox to solve line-of-business problems without boiling the ocean, and that's high value, in my humble opinion. So on slide 12, we'll talk a bit about some of the things you can do with the presenter, some of the actions, as it were. On slide 12, you'll see IBM Mashup Center is able to create new applications by utilizing existing services and data and SOA assets. And so the application is typically what most people think of. I'll talk a little bit more about how other customers think about beyond the application, but right now we'll talk about the application. Mashup Center enables IT to unlock assets like enterprise data, web data, personal data, and departmental data very, very quickly through the construct of feeds. You're able to develop widgets from the enterprise systems very quickly. And with the catalog within Mashup Center, you're able to discover these mashable assets, rank, rate, and tag them so that people learn about their existence and increase the usage of the asset, which, of course, reuses all the goodness of your IT investments already. And one key point about Mashup Center, it allows you to transform information into different formats and repurpose many of your assets, whether they be services or data, into new solutions for your business, which is, again, high value. So a little bit about the catalog. So on slide 13, we talk about speeding the development process. And so IBM Mashup Center looks at effectively these verbs and how you assemble applications. And your first step would be to unlock the data and develop widgets and store them within the catalog. And so as you proceed to store these assets in the catalog, people can discover them and rank, rate, and tag them. And over time, they will change them effectively for their particular role, their purpose. And below there, you'll see a construct of a data mashup. And so as these things evolve and get, again, ranked, rated, and commented upon, they improve their quality and improve their reuse. And so because it's an iterative cycle, as you move forward within the cycle, the process of development quickens, and that collaborative nature is now a part of your application development, as it were, in a less formal sense. So as I mentioned before, customers see Mashup Center in two different ways on slide 14 within the customer patterns. The first approach that people see is the quick application. To be able to build an application within minutes is pretty interesting and very tactical in nature. So when you look at tactical, from an IT perspective, that's interesting. But some of the applications that people will build will have a high value for their role. So sometimes you have to consider the tactical might be from an IT perspective, but strategic from a line of business perspective. So they're able to iterate through building the application, quickly surface the information, and have an endpoint in mind or an end result for a given task in mind. And that's what a quick application is. And people really resonate with that particular one. They understand it. And when you see a demo, and you'll probably see one on the likes of YouTube or our wiki, you'll see how quickly we can do things with Mashup Center. But there's the other approach that people look at from an IT perspective, a new flexibility found within their infrastructure. And we call this kind of trend enterprise mashability, where you're able to effectively surface all your information within the enterprise, of course, safely and securely, in a way that has not been done before, and be able to repurpose the data for a variety of different roles and applications and endpoints, which garner a lot of flexibility from an information architectural perspective. And when you're able to surface data in places that normally you wouldn't have considered before, because you're always looking at a traditional development concept, this gains you some interesting options to solve some of the problems that you're seeing within your enterprise. So those are the two ways that primarily people are looking at mashups in their use. Now I'm going to switch over to slide 15, and I'm going to introduce Eugenie again, and he's going to continue talking about how IMS works with IBM Mashup Center.
Thank you, Chris. Hello, my name is Eugenie Lehovich. I work for the IMS SRA team. In the next set of slides, I would like to tell you a little bit about how the Mashup Center works with IMS. As I'm sure you know, IMS has seen a lot of innovation over the last few years, and integration with the Mashup Center is a perfect example of that. So let's go to the next slide. In version 10 of IMS, we've introduced support for IMS transactions in Mashup Center. This capability allows you to develop RESTful services based on your existing IMS transactions. The diagram on this slide shows the development flow for creating such a service. First, Rational Developer for System Z is used to generate artifacts such as a correlator file and the XML converter. The correlator file contains the interaction properties of the transaction, such as the transaction code. The XML converter is deployed on the IMS Connect side and is used to perform the data conversion to and from XML. The Mashup Center is then used to generate the actual RESTful service. So the next slide, let's take a look in a little more detail into this process. In RDZ, you follow a simple wizard-based procedure to generate artifacts. Slide 18. The next step, you switch to the Mashup Center and follow a very simple and intuitive process to generate the actual IMS feed. So first, you specify the connection properties, the URL or the IP address of your IMS system, and optionally enable security settings. Then you specify the transaction parameters. Slide 19, what you end up with is the so-called Atom feed. It is a Web 2.0 compatible artifact that you can now use inside your mashups. It's important to understand that behind the scenes, the feed actually invokes your original COBOL or PLI transaction still residing on the mainframe. Now, the output of the transaction, however, is converted to an XML-based Atom format such that it can be used with Web 2.0 applications. The screenshot on this slide shows the Atom output of executing a sample phone book transaction. Let's go to the slide 20. Here, you can see an example of an actual mashup. Instead of XML, of course, you will normally see a nicely formatted table such as the one at the bottom left corner of the screenshot. You can also see other widgets here, such as the Google Maps and the News Feed, and all of these widgets interact with each other. Now let's go to slide 21. So that was about the support of the existing IMS transactions. In version 11 of IMS, we've introduced support for developing web feeds based directly on data from IMS database. So let's take a quick look at the development flow again. First, you need to use a free tool called a DLI model utility to generate metadata class based on DBD and PSB definitions of your IMS database. This metadata class is needed to represent the structure of your IMS database in a format that the Mashup Center can understand. The Mashup Center is then used to generate the actual RESTful service. Let's go to slide 22. Again, here is a more detailed view into this process. The DLI model utility first takes the DBD and PSB source files of a database as an input and generates a metadata class through a simple wizard. Slide 23, as a next step, the Mashup Center, you follow a set of screens to establish a JDBC-based connection to your IMS database. Slide 24, during this process, you specify things like connection properties and the location of your metadata class that you've just generated with the DLI model utility. You can then save these properties in a connection profile, which you can reuse later. Slide 25. As you probably know by now, we've introduced SQL support in IMS, and the Mashup Center takes full advantage of this capability, actually. So once connection with your IMS database is established, you can use this GUI-based interface to generate SQL queries. You can also enter SQL queries manually if you wish. Also, you can include parameters into your SQL queries. These parameters later become a part of a URL of your RESTful service. This allows you to create dynamic SQL queries by providing parameter values at the runtime. As you may know, IMS only supports a subset of SQL, the subset that makes sense for a hierarchical database. If you want to see a full list of supported SQL statements, you can actually follow the link provided on this slide. Let's go to slide 26. Again, the resulting IMS feed will run the SQL query against the IMS database and then represent the output in XML-based atom format, as shown on this screenshot. Now, I would like to demonstrate how you can easily leverage IMS support to create an actual useful real-world application in the Mashup Center. And with that, let's go to slide 27. So in this demonstration, I would like to use the Mashup Center to solve an existing real-world problem. Now let's take a look at the auto insurance industry, and specifically at the process of building insurance policies. Many insurance companies store claim information in IMS systems. Let's go to slide 28. There are some challenges. In many cases today, the insurance actuaries use information downloaded from IMS systems into Excel or Access to do the analysis. This is actually a very manual and laborious process. So let's go to slide 29, and let's take a look at a very simple mashup application that an actuary can put together to help analyze claims data. On this screenshot, you see the final mashup. The population claims widget that is on the top right corner represents the rented claims data, and it is actually a DB2 data feed. Just below it is our claims data widget, this one representing the company's internal claims data, and is actually an IMS feed. So you can see here how easily the information from the multiple sources can be combined on a single screen. Now, suppose our actuary have a hunch that some styles of a car identify with a certain styles of drivers. For example, the hybrid, which is a relatively new style of car, it may represent the opportunity for the insurance company to differentiate itself. Using this mashup, the actuary can provide statistical proof that it is actually the case for the hybrids by comparing the average collision amounts between hybrids and other different types of cars. Now, there is only so much I can show you using screenshots because the mashup center is such a visual and dynamic tool. That's why we've provided a video instead for you to download. You can find it on the teleconference webpage. In addition to that, you can also go to YouTube and simply search for IBM Mashup Center, and you will find a lot of videos that may not necessarily include IMS feeds in them, but they pretty elaborate otherwise, and they show you the capabilities of the Mashup Center product itself. So let's go to the slide 30. Here's a list of prerequisites for the Mashup Center with IMS. I've already mentioned the IMS transaction support started with IMS version 10, and IMS data and SQL support is available since version 11 of IMS. Again, for the transaction support, you would need the rational developer for System Z, and for the IMS data support, you will need this IMS DLI model utility, which you can get for free from the IMS webpage. Let's go to slide 31. Again, we are very happy to announce that now Mashup Center is offered free of charge to IMS version 10 and version 11 customers. With this offer, we are actually hoping to generate more interest in this powerful and exciting technology within the IMS community. To take advantage of this offer, just go to the IMS webpage and you'll be provided with the instructions on how to download Mashup Center for free. With this, I conclude the presentation part. Thank you very much, and I will now hand it back to the operator.
Thank you, Eugenie and Chris. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we appreciate the time you take to answer this question, these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And once again, we'll pause. Question 3, what version of IMS are you running? If IMS 9, press star 1. If IMS 10, press star 2. If IMS 11, press star 3. And once again, we'll pause. Question 4, if you're interested in using Mashup Center with IMS, if yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If not sure and need more information, press star 3. And we'll pause one final time before taking our last question. our final question today. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no information is desired at this time, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your questions, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. At this time, we'll turn the conference over to our speakers while we wait for questions. We'll take our first question from Jennifer.
Hi. When you say Mashup Center is a lightweight approach to surfacing data, is this a small download, and will it run out of gas with too many users?
Oh, thanks for the question, Jennifer. The term lightweight approach or phrase that I use might be a little bit misleading in that if we're talking about the approach rather than the actual technology. The software is actually quite robust. It's a robust download, in fact. And in fact, the solution is actually a WebSphere application server implementation. So you're leveraging all the best practices of J2E programming, and certainly can be scaled up as you would expect any WebSphere solution of its kind. And be able to support many, many, many users, even through clustering, what have you. So the term lightweight is certainly about the way you use it rather than what the technology behind it is. Thanks again for the question.
Thanks.
Once again, that is star 1, please. And, gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back over to you for any closing or additional comments.
Well, hi, this is Yevgeny. So what would be the next steps for you if your IMS customer is interested in the Mashup Center technology? Well, something you can do right away is explore online resources on the Mashup Center and IMS. There is a link to the Web2O solutions for IMS right on the ibm.com/IMS webpage. If you go there, you'll definitely find documentation there. There's a link to the hands-on tutorial on the EM4Z sandbox, so something you can actually do to immediately go to this virtual environment and be able to experiment with Mashup Center right away. You can also find some YouTube videos on this page as well. Okay, there is a link to the new YouTube video on the insurance demo that was briefly covered in today's presentation. You can find the link right on the teleconference webpage. There's a lot more resources coming up that will help you get started with the Mashup Center. Now, we've said that it's really easy to use Mashup Center. However, we do recognize that it can still be a daunting task to start with just with any other new product. That's why we're working on a fast start program that will enable you to easily install and configure Mashup Center with IMS and have your first mashup in no time. However, we don't want to leave you alone right now, so if you'd like to get started with the Mashup Center right away, we actually offer you to work with us directly. We can potentially arrange a meeting with you on your site and even work on some sort of POC with you. So we invite you to contact us at IMS. I'm sure you have some way to get to us so that we can start working with you on the next steps. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope this session was informative to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.